Come on, Dave, turn the page. So where we've been traveling since Ash Wednesday for our midweek services has been to take a close look at Psalm 41. And just by way of recap, let me read the first six verses before we get into our text verse. Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give up him up to the will of his enemies. The Lord sustains him on his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to full health. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? And when one comes to see me, he utters empty words while his heart gathers iniquity. When he goes out, he tells it abroad. When we pick up for tonight, all who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me. They say, a deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In our everyday speech, the word enemy is often used. And seems to be, at times, we overstate our situation. Now, to be sure, the devil, the world, and our sinful nature are certainly mortal enemies. They oppose us with deadly intent. But those are spiritual enemies, not physical. Human enemies who look us in the eye. Not many of us have those sorts of enemies. King David did, and our Lord Jesus Christ did. Even if there might be loveless people in your life who drum their fingers waiting for you to die so they can have your money, those people will not, hopefully, scheme to commit your murder. Treacherous, murderous men schemed against David. They imagine the worst for me. They say deadly thing is poured out on him. We also see these in Christ. In Matthew 26, Christ likewise endured deadly designs of murderers. The chief priests and the elders of the people plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. Now, our situations are measurably different. We do not yet have people who directly seek our deaths. Most of our enemies are a lot less violent. People who are just plain mean. People who speak evil about us. People who seem oddly gratified by our pain. People who selfishly take but refuse to give. People who willingly commit injustice and leave us feeling miserable. People who sometimes make us wish we were dead. Perhaps the worst thing about such people is that they seem to get away with it. They seem to go ahead and succeed. David's enemies thought that they would get away with their injustices against him. They poured out a deadly thing for him, then foolishly said concerning him, he will not rise again from where he lies. They were wrong. No one who dies ever stays dead. Daniel 12:2 tells us, all people shall rise. All people shall rise. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Jesus spoke the truth that gives shape to all eternity when he declared, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." Those words, the words of Jesus, speak certainty, underlined, exclamation point, of the resurrection. David lived in that certainty. Jesus of Nazareth embodied that certainty. You, who have been baptized, you've been baptized into that certainty. Romans 6 tells us, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? If we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." Listen carefully to our text. The certainty of the resurrection allowed David to live in confidence and hope, even while his enemies said he will not rise again from where he lies. David knew, without a doubt, without question, that he would indeed rise. That knowledge gave David comfort and gave him power. First, David's faith in the resurrection indicated that whatever he might have been required to suffer in this life, his suffering would not last forever. David's Psalms are full of the hope of the resurrection, even while he teetered on the brink of death. The resurrection is why David could confidently pray, and why you can also pray with equal confidence. We hear in Psalm 3:6, "I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around." Or in Psalm 22:22, "I will tell you of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you." And yet again in 27:13, "I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Relief from suffering is only the first comfort of resurrection. The second comfort is vindication. Vindication is when all things get made right. Vindication happens when those who suffer losses get their losses returned to them. Have you suffered unanswered injustice so that you long for and await vindication? You're not alone. The souls of countless Christian martyrs before us wait with you. In Revelation 6:10, they loudly cry out from the pages of God's Word, "O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood? All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me." David knew that although his enemies might win the battle here and there, they could not win the war. David knew he would be vindicated. You shall be too. That is why David could also pray, and why you can also pray in Psalm 6:10, "All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment." You can pray that. Or Psalm 7:16, "His mischief returns upon his own head." Or even later in Psalm 41, verses 11 and 12, By this I know that you, Lord, delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me, but you have set me in your presence forever. How do we know that David's enemies did not get away with it? I guess the real question, the question that is more to the point, is how do we know that our enemies will not get away with what they have done? We know these things because the enemies of Jesus could not and did not get away with their plans against him. Psalm 41, as we've been speaking over the week, speaks in the voice of the Jesus, the Christ, as surely as it speaks in the voice of King David. All who hate me, listen to as Jesus speaks, all who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me. They say a deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies. The enemies of Jesus were so desperate that he not rise again from where he lies that they posted a guard and imposed a seal upon the tomb. We remember in our readings that the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, remember how that impostor said, while he was still alive, after 3 days, I will rise. Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people, he has risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. You know how that story turned out. The plan did not work. Jesus rose from the dead. And even though you may be Lutheran, it almost makes you want to shout, "Amen. Amen." Meaning, it is so. So be it. God the Father crowned him with glory and honor. Jesus was vindicated in his resurrection, and you shall be too. Those who have committed injustices against you shall not remain unanswered forever. Those who have harmed you have truly only harmed themselves. You shall gain back all that has been taken away from you by selfish hands. You shall rise again from where you are finally laid down, and King David shall rise with you in the power of the Christ, who has already risen. And you shall say on that great day, with David, with Jesus, and all the believers, "You have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen." We have the opportunity to confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please